Tes Zion. We're in the middle of the parrot. Oh, shalom. We're continuing the story of Eliezer finding a shidduch for Yitzchak, the story of Rivka and Eliezer. And now Eliezer found her, and they agreed to marry her to Yitzchak, and they're on the way back home. So it says in the Medrash, B'shei shoyis b'yoyim yotzo ha'evan mechoran. At 6 hours into the day, the slave left Haran. Eliezer left Haran to bring Rivka back to Yitzchak. V'lokachas Rivka ve'ez devoira me'niktoh ve'hirchiv es hen ala gemalim. And he took Rivka and Devoira, who was her wet nurse, and he mounted them on the camels. The Radal brings a Gemara and Psachim and says, why did he have to mount them? Why couldn't they go up on their own? Because the derech of women is that they're very scared when they're trying to like get up onto an animal, so they need some help to be mounted on. And so that the Eved Eliezer wouldn't be alone with Rivka at night, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a nes that nikpatzu aretz of. The land jumped in front of him, and there was kvitzas aderech. And he got to Chevron in 3 hours at the time of around Mincha time. Say the mashal we said last week: if the day begins at 6 and ends at 6, so if he left around 6 hours into the day, it was about basically midday, about 12 o'clock in midday, noon. So he got there about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, around Mincha time. Because Hashem made a nes that he got there in 3 hours, so that there wouldn't be a problem of yichud between Eliezer and Rivka.
How long would it normally take?
So we said last week that normally it takes 17 days.
Wow.
We said that in the beginning of the parak.
Where's Haran today?
Where's Haran today? They know where it is. I think it's still called Haran. It's Be'erich in ISIS country.
I think it's in Syria.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Be'erich in that area where ISIS is right. Ruling. Not like in the northern area of like where the Tigris is. Like I forgot the name of the river, but there's a river that comes off a tributary of the Tigris,
yeah.
And Haran is like off of that river. I forgot the name of the river. Okay. Somewhere in the northern Mesopotamia.
Near Turkey.
Yeah. Like Kurdistan, like that Mamish, where the fighting is now.
So he made a 17-day journey
in 3 hours. Right.
Wow.
So Hashem made this nice because he didn't want that there would be a problem of yichud between Rivka and Eliezer. And the Mefarshim speak out that the Etzem, there could be that there's no real problem. The Radal says it could be there's no real problem because Eliezer came with 10 camels, meaning he came with a whole entourage of people. And Rivka is coming back with Nairi Saha, with all her maidservants and her wet nurse, whatever. So it's like a bunch of men, a bunch of women. There's no problem with Yichud B'chal. So he said, like, Stam, it could be, the Radal says, like, Stam Chumro, Lav Dafka, was it because of a real Chashash Yichud? One of the other Mefarshim say that could be that we're going to see in a moment that Eliezer was chashud. He's a person that you could suspect him of doing some bad stuff. So with such a person, the halachas of yichud are more chomer. Like you can't be, even if there's more people around, you can't be alone with such a guy. So could be that was the chashash. That was, I saw that in a sefer called Alei Zayis on the Zayis Ranan on the Yalkut Shemayin and Parshas Chayisar. It was written by Rav Yaakov Meshe Kanner Shlita, who's a Rav in Toronto. He says this Sora, that because Eliezer, we'll see that Eliezer is a person who's chashud.
But despite his high
madrigal, we're gonna try, hopefully we'll get to it, we should get to it, but we'll see there's a lot of different explanations of who Eliezer was and where he's coming from, and was he a good guy or a bad guy, some interesting things. Okay. The Yotze Yitzchak, the Spalo. Oh, so they got there. By the way, according to some of Farshim, when they got there, Yitzchak was actually standing on his head. He wasn't standing on his feet, he was standing on his head. It was upside down. And hopefully we'll speak about that in Perek Lamed Beis, why was Yitzchak upside down? But according to some of Farshim, Yitzchak was upside down on his head. Because he was coming from Gan Eden after the Akedah, he went to Gan Eden to get healed. So he was coming, Mamish just came from Gan Eden, so he was like falling this way. So it's a very funny thing that some Rishonim say this, but Yitzchak was standing on his head and it was like a weird thing. V'yatzah Yitzchak l'espalel tefilas mincha. Yitzchak came out to daven mincha. Shenama, it says in the pasuk, v'yatzah Yitzchak l'suach basodah le'eis erev. Lefnois erev. And Yitzchak came out to the word lasuach literally means to speak in the field le'eis erev, in the evening time. Ve'ein sicha ela tefillah. This lashon of lasuach, to speak, doesn't mean literally to speak, but it means to daven. Shemar, it says in the pasuk in Tehillim, tefillah le'oni ki yatov v'lefnei Hashem ishpeich sichoi. Tefillah, when a poor man is yatov, when he's wrapped in his talis, v'lefnei Hashem ishpeich sichoi, and in front of Hashem he's spilling his speech. What does it mean, the speech in this context? It obviously means his prayer, his davening. Right. So Yitzchak was davening over here. Stam, I saw something very interesting last night. Where is it? Somebody just yesterday donated this sefer to the shul. Chud Shal Chesed from Rabbi Yomi Izmir. Our good friend Rabbi Yomi Izmir. So right here in Parshas Chayisara, he makes an interesting deal. It says in the pasuk, it says, "Vayetze Yitzchak l'suach basadeh lefnayis arev." Yitzchak came out to speak in the field in the evening. "Vayisa eino vayar." He lifted his eyes and he saw. "V'hinei gmalim boyim," and behold, there are camels coming. So there's camels coming. What about Eliezer and his people, and Rivka, his future wife? He looked and that's what he saw. He saw the camels. He didn't see this whole all these people coming. That's what he asked. So Beliomi is there. So he says very gishmak teretz. So because we said that what happened was that Eliezer last week we said Eliezer left, or 12 hours into the day, and he got to Haran in 3 hours, and then now this week we just saw that the next morning he left at 6 hours into the day, and then he came back 3 hours later. So. And we said that it's a journey of 17 days. So the guy left yesterday in the afternoon, and now he's coming back the next day in the afternoon from what would be a 17-day journey. It doesn't make any sense. So when Yitzchak saw...
Two 17-day journeys,
it doesn't make any sense. So when Yitzchak sees him coming back, of course he wouldn't think that it's Eliezer and Rivka. He assumed, there's a bunch of camels coming or something or whatever. He didn't realize who it was until the mamish came close, and he was like, "Oh, it must have been some sort of nace." But before the logic would tell him that's not what happened. That's what it says in the sefer. Chut shel chesed and parshas chayisara. But I wanted to tell him, maybe you could say a different word. If you learn like these rishonim that said that Yitzchak was standing on his head. So you could say that, yeah, he was standing on his head, so all he saw was the feet of camels coming. The people were mounted on top of the camels, so you couldn't see the people, you only see feet of camels. So he thought there was a bunch of camels coming. Maybe, I don't know. Stop. Okay. We'll leave the Chumash over later. Okay.
I never knew the yoga exercise.
What?
He did yoga.
He did yoga, yeah. Okay.
Very interesting. He went out at 3 o'clock to pray.
Yeah.
Before Chag, which is Pilu the time for Mincha.
Right.
But he was a little bit earlier.
He didn't dive in Mincha right before Shkia.
Yeah, he didn't dive in Mincha.
Right. It happens to be that the Radal wants to bring a raya to the opposite. He wants to bring a raya that he was going to daven mincha ketana. Because he's going out to daven mincha at 3 o'clock, let's say, and mincha ketana is 3:30, so maybe he's doing his achanas or something. He wants to bring a raya that from here you see that mincha ketana is the ikker. I don't see a raya that mincha ketana is the ikker. Maybe he was going to dafka going out at 3 so that he could chop right mincha before mincha ketana. So I didn't want to say this right now, but once you mentioned the idea.
I heard an explanation that the Yitzchak was actually meditating.
Meditating.
Right. He was doing his getting ready to start.
Okay, I mean the Gemara says that the Yitzchak was the one who was Gemara in Brachas in the beginning of the fourth parak says the Yitzchak was the one who was Mesakin Mincha. How do we know that? It brings this pasuk, right? So Yitzchak l'suach basadeh v'ein sicha l'tfilah. So the Gemara definitely understands that it's talking about literally davening Mincha. That's the source of the tfilah of Mincha according to one opinion in the Gemara over there.
Yeah, could be with meditating upside down.
Meditating upside down, yeah. Okay, right there. Rabbi Shmuel Aymer. Rabbi Shmuel says, Omar Avram li Yitzhak b'nai. Avram Avinu said to Yitzhak, his son, Ha'eved hazeh chashud al haveres hu. Umirma bi'adai. This Eved, Eliezer, he's chashud al haveres. We would suspect him of doing sins, of impropriety. Hu, umirma bi'adai. And there's trickery in his hand. Shenamar, it says in the Pasuk, Kna'an bi'adai maizne mirma la'ashayk ahev. Kna'an, in his hands, are the scales of trickery in to cheat the people that he loves. So in Canaan, the Radal says is a code word for all slaves. So even if Eliezer was lavdafka from Canaan or wasn't Canaan himself, but it means all slaves, and Eliezer was a slave. So you see that slaves are tricky people, and they're chashed on averus. So Avram Avinu is telling Yitzhak that maybe Eliezer is chashed on averus. So check out, maybe Eliezer touched the pipe. Naga Betziner is sort of a euphemism that maybe he did some inappropriate stuff with Rivka on the way. So maybe touch the pipe is a euphemism for that. Rather, what you should do is bring the girl into the tent. Vahaitse es bisulaha ba'etzba, and take out her bisulim with your finger. The one gear says imtira bisulim, see if you'll see bisulim, or the other gear says imtahira bisulah, if she's pure with her, in regards of her bisulim. Harehi lacha mipi agvua, then she's yours from by divine decree. Hashem wants you to marry her. So what did he do? Hichnisa ha'ayhala. Yitzchak brought her into the tent. And Yitzchak took out her besulim with his finger. And he showed him to Avram Avinu. And afterwards, Yitzchak married her. Shenemar, it says in the pasuk, "Vayevi'eha Yitzchak ha'ayala sara imai." And the end of the pasuk says, "Vayikach esvifka v'atehi leili isha v'ye'eha v'ha." So it says, "Vayevi'eha Yitzchak ha'ayala sara imai." Yitzchak brought her into the tent of his mother Sarah, and then it says, and he married Rivka, and she was his wife. And then she loved him. Right? So first it says he brought her into the tent, and then it says and then he married her. So why did he bring her to the tent if he wasn't marrying her? Elamai, this is what the Radal says. Elamai, first he brought her into the tent to check if she's pure, and then afterwards when he saw that she was pure, he married her. The Radal points out that the Gemara says that. Okay, whatever. The Radal says that it sounds like over here that the Rivka must have been over 3 years old, because the Gemara says in a few places that if a woman's besulim come out before she's three, so they grow back. Right? So the Radal says it must be that Rivka was over 3 years old. So in one place in Mesachas Seferim, it says, we mentioned Mesachas Seferim last week, it says that she was 3 years old and 3 days when she left her father's house. So you see that she was over 3 years old. And the Rashi and Chumash says that she was 3 years old also. So Kobi is going like that. Seder Olam also says that she was 3 years old. And Taisus in Yevamos brings from Rabbeinu Shmuel HaChassid, the father of Yehuda Chassid, that says that she was 14 years old. So there's a famous machlekes if how old was Rivka when she got married? Was she 3 or was she 14 years old? Well, it's a famous zach. I saw once there's riots both ways. It's a tesis in Yevamos on Samach Aleph and Beis, and other places also they talk about it. I saw once a very interesting way of reconciling this machlekes. How old was Rivka? Was she 3 or was she 14? I saw this first. I saw it in the Sefer Mayan Beis Hashueva from Rav Schwab. He brings it b'shem somebody named Rabbi Michal Forschlager, who was a rabbi in Baltimore about 100 years ago. Rabbi Michael Forschlager. They recently printed his farm. I think it's called like Teres Michal, something like that. It came out like about a year ago. But so Rabbi Michal Forschlager answers like this. He says that we know that when Yitzchak had the Akedas Yitzchak when he was 37, and then right at that point, Avram Avinu had a special nevuah brought in the end of Parshas Vayera, the end of the Kriyas Torah of the second day of Rosh Hashanah. Avram Avinu had a special nevuah that Besuel gave birth to Rivka right at that time. So it sounds like right after Akedas Yitzchak, that's when Rivka was born. And then 3 years later, it says the pasuk that Yitzchak was 40 when he got married, and he was 37 by Akedas Yitzchak. So it must be that she was 3 years old, right? So he says, no, the pshat is like this. Really, she was really four. She was physically, she was 14 years old. She was really born beforehand. But what happened was by Akedas Yitzchak, that's when Sarah died. Sarah Rabbeinu died by Akedas Yitzchak. Remember this? That's why Parshas Chayesar is right after the story of Akedas Yitzchak. And when Sarah died, so he says that her neshama went into Rivka, and now Rivka became a Gilgal of Sarah. That only happened 3 years before she got married. So her body was 14 years old, but the fact that she was a Gilgal of Sarah, then Chapedesh, she was only 3 years old. And then I found that afterwards that Rav Chaim Falaji says the same teretz. I forgot exactly where. I wrote it down somewhere. But Rav Chaim Falaji says the same teretz that her body was 14 years old, but her Gilgal of Sarah was only 3. That's interesting. I thought it was a shtickle chiddush that you could become a Gilgal after you're already alive. Usually you would think like, oh, this guy, he was a Gilgal from this neshama from... Like it seems like she like sort of switched neshamas or something. Like, I don't know how these things work. But
I mean, that happened to that neshama of Sarah
joined together with her neshama. Something like that. I don't know exactly how it works.
It does happen.
You know of a case of a guy.
I heard about it.
You're my neighbor.
Anyway, so I'm perplexed. Why did you have to take the Batura out? You could have shipped to see joined the Batura. And then let Yitzchak do that.
You're right.
Why do you have to take the
Batura
out?
So we're gonna discuss that in a moment. But first, we have a Yalkut Shemayni. Yalkut Shemayni in Parshas Chayesara says a slightly different version of the story over here. In Yalkut Shemayni, it says. But it says in the pasuk that when she was coming, she saw Rivka saw Yitzchak and she fell off the camel, right? So vatipol me'al gamal. Why? So Medrash says this is Yalkut Shemayni Remez Kuftes in Chayesara. Lefisha rasa bruchah she'asi latus b'menu Esav harasha. When she saw in Ruach HaKodesh that Esav is going to be a descendant of her, nizdazer, she started shaking and she fell off the camel. V'nasas mukas eitz. And she became a mukas eitz,
right.
That some foreign object took out her besulim. V'yata memena dam besulim, and her dam besulim came out. Miyad omar Kodesh Baruch Hu Gavriel, so Kodesh Baruch Hu said to the Malach Gavriel, raid ushmar es hadam shelo yasriach v'lo yabaymum. Go and guard the blood so that it won't become putrid or whatever, and that there won't, the people won't think that there was a blemish in Rivka. So then, the Medrash says that by Yitzchak Aleha, when Yitzchak wanted to consummate his marriage with her, v'loy matzal besulim, he didn't see that she had besulim, v'chashta me Eliezer. He suspected that she did something with Eliezer. So Amalah, he said, Yitzchak said to her, besulay sayich heichan hein, where are your besulim? Amalah, she said to him, kishanafalti min agomol, nasasi mukas eitz. I fell off the camel, I became a mukas eitz, and the besulim came out over there. Amala, he said, and you saw me fall off the camel. Amala, he said to her, no, sheker at medaveres. No, you're lying. Ella Eliezer pagabich. Eliezer touched you when you were on the road. Vinishba Allah yishalei nagaba, and she swore to him that Eliezer didn't touch him. Holchu, so they went off to investigate. Umatzu ha'etz tzavu adam, and they saw there was a tree over there at that place where she fell off the camel. There was a tree, and that tree was like covered with blood. Miad yada Yitzchak shehi tahara. So then Yitzchak knew that she was tahara. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, and then the Medrash finishes off. Says Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ma esa le'eved hazeh? What should I do for this eved? Shehaya choshud, the people were suspected him about things that he didn't do. So Amar Malach Hasharis hachnisu chay beGan Eden. The Malachim said to him, you should bring him alive into Gan Eden. And then the Medrash says, Hu Eliezer ben Nimrod? That's Eliezer, the son of Nimrod. Vuhu teme gedela? Yeah. Yitzchak came back from Gan Eden, like we said, after the kid that he went to Gan Eden to get healed, and he came back, and Eliezer went into Gan Eden alive. Okay, so that's what the Medrash says. So now, Rabbi Leo Me Izmir, I don't know why I keep quoting Rabbi Leo Me Izmir, but in Medrash Talpius, on the word Zivug, Rabbi Leo Me Izmir asks, according to Yalkut Shemayni, he didn't find her besulim, and then and he went and they found that it was on a tree. And we mentioned also Perek Tess. We sort of spoke about this by when we talked about Kisui Adam. There were animals that were watching her dam so that nothing would happen to it, and those animals got the schus of Kisui Adam. the same idea, but they went and he sought elsewhere. According to Pirkei Eliezer, it sounds like Shitakawa did have Bisulim. So Rabbi Leo Meizmer in Medrash Talpias asks this question, and he says, you have to say that our Medrash was Makatzer. It abbreviated this whole story, and it means to be Meramis the story over here in Yalkut Shabbat. I'm not convinced.
I think there's 2 points over here. First of all, you said right now we're going to contradict what it's going to say over here.
Oh, that's true.
He said he went to Ganet, and here he's going to say
Yeah.
And the second point is, if you said that he's the son of Nibir, it means that he's from Kush, and not from Canaan. Yeah?
Right.
Because Nibir was from Kush, I think. Yeah?
Right.
And that's what you're going to say, that all Zerachom are called Canaan.
It could be.
He
never said that we never really said that he was from Canaan. We just said all of Adam are called Canaan. That's what he said.
He was from Bnei Chomlum, yeah?
Yeah. We'll see.
So Ramallah guarded the blood that it didn't congeal.
Right.
And then Rivka came in and he spotted the blood was too fresh.
I guess
and
so,
he
yeah.
Realized that
and he realized that she was really okay.
Okay.
So the Medrash says another interesting thing. It says, "Bekach hayu Yisrael noyagim lahaytzi as a besulim be'etzba," and that was the minhag in Kol Yisrael to take out the besulim with the finger. Shlo yavoy lidei suffik, so you won't come into a suffik, because maybe if you already consummate the marriage, then you find out afterwards that she was impure or whatever. So then you know you don't want to you'll be over isur or something. Shenemar v'lokach avi anaro v'ima v'hitzius besulei v'gomer. With the pasuk in Parshas Kisetzei by a case of Moitzi Shemra, where a guy marries a woman and then he says, "Oh, she wasn't a besula." So it says that the father and the mother they bring out the v'hitzius as besulei ish. They take out the cloth and they say, "Oh, this is the besulei of my daughter." So to prove her purity. That's what it says in the pasuk. So the Midrash is saying that was the minhag in Kol Yisrael. Okay, so this line over here that's saying that was the minhag in Kol Yisrael is a very difficult thing to understand, because if you ever learn Maseches Ksubos, it's clear that that was not the minhag in Kol Yisrael. Because Maseches Ksubos is all talking about, well, what happens if you marry a girl and then you do bia and then you realize that she didn't have besulim, so you have to figure out, so does that mean that she was mezana or she wasn't? Was it before the kiddushin or after the kiddushin? Maybe she was a ketan or whatever. These different cases, especially on Daf Tes over there in Maseches Ksubos, it's a famous Daf of Gemara. So it seems pretty clear from the Gemara that this was not the minhag, and in fact, Tesis. In Maseches Ksubos and Daf Dalet, Gemara in Maseches Ksubos talks about something called Be'ilas Mitzvah. It's talking about a case where a guy gets married and then he becomes an Ovel before he's able to consummate, whatever. The Gemara calls it Be'ilas Mitzvah. So why is it called Be'ilas Mitzvah? So Tosfos says, because it's a mitzvah because the Pasuk says, because the Gemara says, "Ein Isha Kareses Bris El Misha Sa'a Kli," that a woman only becomes especially kashur to a man that makes her into a vessel that she could become pregnant. Remember, the Gemara says that Einish Misaperes Bebir Rishena, so the Bir Rishena makes it that a woman could become pregnant. The Rizal speaks a lot about this, that in the Bir Rishena that a man puts what he calls a Ruach the Shavak Babaila Bebir Rishena. It's mavur from the Gemara and from other sources that there's like a dafkan in it of bia, not to take it out with the finger. Where does the Medrash say this from?
That was dafkan the door to the blood. They did dafkan did that.
Yeah.
Put him out.
Right. The daughters of Lloyd did that, but we don't do such things. So there's a sefer called, I found a sefer called Chilukim Shebein Anshe Mizrach Ubnei Eretz Yisrael. It's a sefer that it was written in the time of the Ga'inim. It's called Chilukim Shebein Anshe Mizrach Uvinei Eretz Yisrael. So in that sefer, in Ois Mem, it says that the minhag was that Anshe Mizrach, people in the Mizrach, in the east, meaning Bavel, their minhag was they would do bia. And the minhag in Eretz Yisrael was that they would do it with a finger. So you see that already in the time of Chazal, you know, the Gemara is going with the minhag in Bavel, and it seems like the Blizzard is going with the minhag in Eretz Yisrael. So there were different minhagim, I guess, in Kol Yisrael exactly how to do it. But we go with the minhag of the Gemara, we don't go with the minhag of the Medrash. And there's an interesting shtickle from the Medrash Ma'ar HaFela, which is one of the early Temani Midrashim. around the time of the Rambam, the Parshas Chayisar, he says about what it says over here in Pirkei Avos, he says, Kol ha'eser davar zeh harehu bur v'achzari. Anyone who does this is an ignoramus and a cruel person. V'ein bay boishes upon him, and he doesn't have any embarrassment. V'ein chayisken alacha min a medrash, and we don't pass an alacha from a medrash. So basically, the medrash says this, but we don't go like this. That's the point. Okay. I'm sorry for getting too graphic. But all right, let's go weiter.
So we have to deal with it.
Yeah, Zakan Beisai Shel Avram Haya Avdei Eliezer. Zakan Beisai, the pasuk. If you look good in Parshas Chayisar, it never says that Eliezer was the one who got the shidduch for Yitzhak. It never says the name Eliezer. Who was it? It says that he was his eved, and it also calls him Zakan Beisai, the elder of his household. So who is the elder of his household? Zakan Beisai Shel Avram Haya Avdei Eliezer. The elder of Avram's household was his servant Eliezer. The Medrash says, "Umayayin Haya Avdei." How is Eliezer the eved of Avram? We're going to say in a moment that Eliezer is actually Oig Melech HaBashan. So the Radal says that Oig Melech HaBashan was Miyeser HaRefoyim, from the leftovers of the Refoyim, a strong, a giant person. How did it come to be that he ended up being a slave to Avram? Like, how did such a strong warrior become a slave? It doesn't. He wants to. Where does that come from?
And also Moshe killed him.
Oh, well, so we're going to get to that also, hopefully. When Avram Avinu was leaving Ur Kasdim, so all the Gedali Yador, all the Choshev, the prominent people in that generation, came and they gave Avram Avinu presents. But Amad Nimrod, and Nimrod got up, Kasav is Avdei Eliezer Avram, and he wrote a shtar giving, like the mission Kedushin says that you can be kind of Eved with a shtar. So Nimrod wrote a shtar giving over his Eved Eliezer to Avram Avinu.
Previously, you said he was his son. Eliezer was the.
Yes, in Yalkut Shemini, it called him Eliezer ben Nimrod. Yes.
Okay, so over here they don't agree.
It's machlekes, is a different midrashim.
He's saying that he's a slave, and he's saying that he's from the Reform, yeah?
Yeah.
If he's from the Reform, then he's not Mizarachom, because the Reform were before Noach.
Right.
And they weren't Mitzatzei Noach, yeah?
But, where did Nimrod have Eliezer as a slave from? So if Eliezer is Oig, so it says later on when we talk about the story of the Mabul, in Perichav Gimel, so we're going to see that when Oig got saved by the Teva of Noach, Noach basically made Oig swear that he's going to forever be an Eved to the descendants of Noach. So that's how it came about that Oig was a slave to, let's say, Chom, and then when Chom died, Nimrod, Yarshanim, or whatever. So
another interesting question: how did Oig survive the flood? It says that the waters around the ark were cool.
Right.
And Oig was in the water that held them on.
Holding on to the Teva, yeah.
So he was an Eved, and I hold him then, he was an Eved to Chom.
Right, Eved of Adim, he had a
Chod. Canaan was an Eved to the other sons of Chom.
Right.
So it sounds like he's a very low level of Amdus.
And Eved to the Amish Eved, yeah. Okay.
He asked previously, how was it that a giver became a rebbe? No?
Yeah.
I don't think it's a problem. I mean, the shratas are bigger than the white people, but they are.
This is being recorded.
Oh.
Uchashagamal chasad im Yitzhak benai. When Yitzhak did, when Eliezer did a chasad to the son of to Yitzhak, the son of Avram Avinu, haitziya lecheres. Avram Avinu freed him. He used to be his slave, and now he freed him. It's interesting because last week we said that it's the same thing. What if we go back and try to remember why we're talking about this? So we're talking about this. We're bringing this whole story because we're talking about people who did chesed in regard to chasanos. Just like a Kodesh Baruch Hu did chesed for Adam and Chava. So we're talking about other cases of people who did chesed in regard to marriage. So just. That's why we're talking about this again. So Kishagomal Chesed in Yitzchak Benoi, when Eliezer did Chesed to Yitzchak by helping him get a shidduch, Haitzir Lecheres, Avram Avinu, or maybe it was Yitzchak, let him go free. Menasun like Kadosh Baruch Hu Schara Bo'ilam Azeh, and Kadosh Baruch Hu gave him his reward in this world, Bishvil Shalayeh Heischal Rishayim Ba'olam Haba, so that there won't be schar for Rishayim Ba'olam Haba, like we spoke about last week and the week before, that the way a Kodesh Baruch Hu does it is, if a person is a tzaddik and he does something bad, so he gets punished in this world, so he gets a schar in Olam Haba. If a person is a Rasha and he does something good, so he gets a schar in Olam Hazeh, so Olam Haba will get punishment. So Kodesh Baruch Hu, to this Eved, who apparently was a Rasha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him his schar in Olam Hazeh, b'shul shalo yehei schar l'rishayim ba'olam haba. What was that schar? What was the schar that Hashem gave to Eliezer? Hikimu el melech. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Eliezer into a melech. V'hu oig melech habashan. And he is oig melech habashan. There's a lot of different questions whatever over here. We'll discuss some of them, but we're not going to have a chance to speak about like all the different nekudas about Oig and Eliezer, who is Oig and who is Eliezer. And one question is like this. There's another interesting source about this. There's in Mesachas Seifrim, towards the end of Mesachas Seifrim, it says also the same thing, that Eliezer, Eved Avram, is Oig Melech Habashan. It says that what happened was that one time Avram Avinu screamed at Eliezer / Oig. He screamed at him, and his tooth fell out. And Avram Avinu took his tooth, and he made from that, it says, Yesh Emrim, he made a chair, Yesh Emrim, he made a bed. And I found that the Rekech says, Yesh Emrim, he made a wall. So Avram Avinu took that tooth, and he made up the whole thing from it. So I once asked a question like this. Over here it says that Avram Avinu freed him for helping find the Shidduch for Yitzhak. Over there it says that he screamed at him and his tooth fell out. Now there's a halacha called Shein Va'ayin by an Eved. If you knock out your Eved's tooth or his eye, he automatically goes free. Eved Kenani. Alright? So Uchara, how did Avram Avinu free Eliezer? Uchara, he should have went out with Shein Va'ayin when he was his slave and he got his tooth fell out when Avram Avinu screamed at him, he should go out. So really, it's not such a good question, because if you look in the Gemara in Kiddushin, the Chavtal and Beis, the Gemara is also over there talking about Eved, and it basically talks about a case where a guy, let's say you go up behind somebody and you go poof, and he didn't really see it coming. He goes like, he gets shocked and he goes like this and he hits his face into the wall and he smashes his face. Are you chayev or potter to pay for his damages? So the halacha is that you're chayev b'dinei shemayim, but you're potter b'dinei adam. Because it's called a grama. So in such a case, it seems like from the Gemara over there, in a case of grama as well, an Eved won't go free either. So Avraham is screaming at him and him getting scared and having his tooth fall out, that's not called knocking out his tooth or his eye or his tooth. So he didn't go free from that. That's why I wanted to just, this is a Rashash over there in Kiddushin that has some questions on this. But that's basically the idea of that.
Maybe Baruchni, she went free from Gash, when she was daughter Eved.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
Huh?
I don't know what that means. What do you mean?
That means that Baruchni, she wasn't Bakusha to Avraham. He had his own Messiah. And then afterwards, he became his own person by becoming an Eved, a free Eved. It's a very interesting thing. It says that by the Akeda.
That by what?
By the Akeda.
The Akeda, yeah.
The Sarah was in Hebron.
Right.
And the Akeda was in Yerushalayim. How did she know what happened?
Right.
So apparently, Oig was. He has to prove that she was able to tell what was going on, because Oig was telling her.
Right.
The Oig, right? He was telling her what was going on.
Right.
So Og must have been Eliezer.
Why?
Because Eliezer was there, I saw it.
Eliezer was with Avram. Right, I hear.
I have two problems with that.
That's a good question.
I have two problems with that. First of all, Og was a giant, so he was able to see everything.
Right.
Second of all, if that was him, it says that he told the Sarah not to frighten or neurotic.
Because he wanted to marry her.
I think so, yeah?
Yeah.
You want to cause problems, so why would Avram then give him a mission to find Yitzhak Shidduch? This is the kind of person that...
Well, maybe he didn't realize or something, I don't know. There's a lot of places where Oig sort of comes up. There's another where it says by when Loit was captured, there was a war between the four kings and the five kings, and Loit was captured. So it says, the refugee from the war came and he told Avram Avinu that Loit was kidnapped. Right? So some of Farshim say that this Palit was Oig. because he was polit, meaning refugee from the Mabul. So some Midrashim say that that's Oig. And then what was Avraham Avinu's response? He sends the response of Avraham Avinu was that he sent Eliezer to go fight. To go fight and try to help bring back to go fight the five kings, to go fight the four kings to help bring back light, right? So it's just so funny that like if Oig is Eliezer and you put these two things together, it's like Oig was Eliezer came and told Avraham Avinu about it, and then Avraham Avinu go and sent him to go fight it. Someone asked me this as a question. It's a struggle question. The Pirkei Eliezer happens to be understands that when it says Vayavai HaPolit, it's not talking about Oig. It's actually talking about, I believe it was the Malach Michal. It was for sure a Malach. I think it was Malach Michal. We're going to see it later on when we get to the times of Avraham Avinu. We're still holding by Adam Rishon. I forgot what Pirkei it's in. But I seem to remember that Pirkei Eliezer says that it was Michal. In other places, I saw once that there's a Sefer Chemdas Yamim, from Rav Shalom Shabazi from Teman. So he writes, why is Oig called Oig? Because Vayavai Polit, when he came to tell Avraham Avinu that light was captured, so it says in Targum Yonasan that Avraham Avinu was baking matzahs because it was Pesach time. So Avraham Avinu was baking matzahs. So matzahs are called ugais sometimes. So that's why he's called Oig, because he came when Avraham Avinu was baking matzahs, it's called ugais. Interesting word.
I misquoted the Medrash.
You misquoted the Medrash?
Yeah, it was talking about the war with the four kings, not with Akedah. Like you said, because he wanted Tsaros, he wanted Avram to fight them, so he should be killed.
But there's also, I think there's also such a thing about the Akedah. I'm not sure.
It's a contradiction. It could be he told Avram that, and then Avram really wanted the show who was the boss. He said, okay, now you're going to come to the war with me.
Right. So that's another point over here. And as we're reading this, I just realized why I don't think this is such a question. But another point is like this: it says in this week's parsha, Parshas Chukas, with Mamish at the end of the parsha, that after Moshe Rabbeinu went and fought Sichon Melech Cheshbon and he defeated them, so then Vayetze Oig Melech Habashan the Kraseinu to go fight us, and Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Al Tiro, don't be scared, Just like you fought and you defeated Sichon Melech Amori. Now you're gonna go and you're gonna fight Oig Melech Habashan and you're gonna defeat him too. Don't be scared. And Moshe Rabbeinu went. Moshe Rabbeinu killed Oig Melech Habashan. That's what it says in the pesukim. So the Da'at Kenim asks like this. That's the Kenim in Parshas Chayisar. He brings the Pirkei Eliezer. In this print it says Pirkei Tzvav, which is a typo. It's supposed to say Pirkei Tzayin. He brings the Pirkei Eliezer and says it sounds like from Pirkei Eliezer that Oig / Eliezer was a good person. Yet Moshe Rabbeinu killed him. So that sounds like he was a bad person. So what was he? He was a tzaddik or he was a rasha? And also we mentioned the Medrash, we said the Yalkut Shemaini, that Eliezer was one of the people that went in alive to Gan Eden. That sounds like he's a good guy. So if Eliezer is Oig, so he went alive into Gan Eden. Like someone just asked this before. I Moshe Rabbeinu killed him. He didn't go alive into Gan Eden. If he's Oig.
He's Oig.
Yeah.
Maybe he went to Gan Eden and then he came back.
Huh?
Maybe he went to Gan Eden and he came back.
Could be.
He took a trip to for a few days.
So that's the Kenim's question. I don't know if it's such a question because even Pirkei Eliezer says that if you read it carefully the way we read it. Pirkei Eliezer also says that Oig was Rasha. Because it says that Hashem gave him Yischar in Olam Hazeh so that there won't be Yischar L'Rashah in Olam Haba. So Pirkei Eliezer also says he was a Rasha. So I'm not sure what that's the Kenim is saying. Yeah, he was a Rasha. Okay, maybe he was a loyal servant of Avraham Avinu. So Avraham Avinu used him for different missions. But it sounds like he was talking about Rasha. Even Pirkei Eliezer.
And he's called Eliezer, which sounds Lehefech. Sounds like he's a Eliezer. He's helping Hashem.
Okay, could be. No. But the Das Kenim takes a different approach. The Das Kenim says a different answer. We're misunderstanding something here. You have to know that there's two people called Oig Melech Habashan. That's what he says. The Das Kenim from the Bali Tesis.
The real Oig, stand up.
Yeah, well, the real Oig Melech Habashan, please stand up.
If you stand up, you won't see. Only through a telescope.
There's two Oig Malchus. It says that every king of Bashan was called Oig, named after the first one. So our Eliezer, he was talking a good guy, and he became Oig Malchus Bashan the first. And then every person who became the king of Bashan, he got the name Oig. And the Oig Malchus Bashan, what?
Like
he says, like Para. Every Oig Malchus Bashan, the Oig Malchus Bashan time of Moshe Rabbeinu, he was a Rasha. Moshe Rabbeinu killed him. So one was a tzaddik, one was Russia. There's two talking to two different people. And we find this by Pyro, we find it could be by Avimelech. The Ramban is mistopic about if every king of Gwar and Plishtim was called Avimelech.
Can't be, because you find in Sefer
Shmuel. Sefer, what?
You find in Sefer Shmuel the king not being called Avimelech.
Okay.
There's an Ochosh Melchias, you don't seem being called.
Yeah, it's Gas, but it could be as Gwar, I don't know, I'm not sure.
It sounds like Gas was the only city in Plishtim which had a king.
It could be that was a later time or whatever, but
it could be the capital city moved from Gror to Gas because Bnei Yisrael conquered.
I know what Gror is. I know that the Plishtim had five cities.
Gror was near Be'er Sheva, but Bnei Yisrael conquered all that area. So it could be the capital of Plishtim moved to Gas.
Well, there's five Plishti cities, right? There's
Ekron,
Gas, Ata, Asa. Right. So I don't know which one is Gror.
Gror wasn't one of them.
What Gror is a city or it's a region? I'm not sure.
I think because Plishtim used to be bigger, he used to include also, I think, near Be'er Sheva, he used to be much bigger. Bnei Yisrael conquered most of the Plishtim, but they left over five cities.
Right, that's how it was.
When Bnei Yehuda was supposed to conquer that region, they were supposed to fight it together with Bnei Shimon, but they left over five cities.
Uh-huh.
These are the five cities they left over. And
Chamisha Sarnei Plishtim.
Yeah, and they were thrown at the side of Bnei Yisrael for many generations.
Right.
Also, you know, our major made in here to kick it out. When you went to Be'er Sheva.
Yeah.
So, if the Be'er Sheva was a Russia, you don't have a Russia to make it sure. You know what I mean?
Why?
Because
it might lie.
Because otherwise, the dust is going to break it. A Sheva is something that gives somebody power to do the right thing.
Could be right. I hear.
So therefore, I think that Eliezer was like a Benjamin. He
sometimes good, sometimes bad, you want to say. Yeah, also, you know, you really also you can answer the Das Kingdom's question by saying originally he was good. In the time of Roman, he was good.
Right.
And, you know, 500 years later, less than 500, 400 years later, in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, he was a bad. He went off the derech.
Right.
We said by Yochanan Kohen Gadol, he was a Kohen Gadol for 80 years, and then he became a tzaddiki, right? And the Gemara says, Al tamin ba'atzvacha yoy ma'isra. So even if a tzaddik like that could go off, so I don't think it's so sure.
Somebody who becomes a king gain power, and the power gets to
the power corrupts people, yeah. I hear. Without Rashi, Rashi in this week's parasha says something interesting. And with this we're going to finish and go weiter. Rashi says, when Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, don't be scared of Oig, because Al Tira Yisai, so he says, Moshe Rabbeinu was scared of Oig, because Oig was the one who told Avraham Avinu about Lot being kidnapped, whatever I call it, and that's Oig. And this, in the schus of that, maybe he would get saved. Rashi is going with that mahalach that the palit is oig, not like Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, and you know Rashi l'chayr Rashi is saying not like what we're saying over here in Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. If Rashi held like Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, she should have said better. Moshe was scared that oig had his chus of finding a shidduch for Yitzchak, but he said no. Oig, he was scared that he told Avram that Lot was kidnapped. Finding the schus for Yitzchak is a bigger schus. So you have to know what Rashi exactly held. Well, it sounds like from Rashi that it was one person also, not like the Das Kinnam.
So what did Hashem tell Moshe to make him feel better that he could kill off?
What?
To kill him anyway. Why? Because he's a bad guy. Even though he got the merit.
The truth is that Oig came out to attack the Jews,
yeah.
And the thing was that Moshe Rabbeinu was scared of him, and Hashem said, "Don't be scared." It's not that Hashem told him go and attack him. He's saying, "Don't be scared. You'll be able. You can defend yourself, and you'll win."
Right.
It's not that Hashem was necessarily telling him to go out and kill him. He was telling him to go defend yourself, and that would necessitate killing him if need be, you know.
But the man who said it, given an idea how big oil might be a
sword?
Yeah. 15 meters.
Yeah, Tanamas.
And he jumped 15 meters into the air.
Yeah. He hit his ankle. Yeah, by the ankle, I think it was.
But can you imagine how useless this thing was?
Yeah, it's a good morning in the last parak of Brachos, the beginning of the parak over there. Fine, let's go later. Rabbi Omer, Rabbi says, Shivas Yimei Mishta Me'ayinonu Lemedim. We said earlier in the parak we wanted to learn out the Indian of Sheva Brachos from Yaakov Avinu. Now, and then we said last week that, you know, some people tell you, no, you can't learn from Yaakov Avinu because that's before Matan Torah. So here we're going to say another source for the Indian of Sheva Brachos. We learn it out from Shimshon. Shimshon went out to Eretz Plishtim and he found himself a nice wife and he married her and he made a party for 7 days of Yemei Mishta and Simcha. Shneamar says the pasuk, "Vayihi kiroisam ayisay vayiku shoshemarim vayu itay." That's the pasuk over there in Sefer Shoft, that he took his friends and they were with him and they made a party, and he said to them. Mahu itoy, what does it mean? Itoy with him, oichlim b'sheisim imoy. With him, meaning they were eating and drinking with him. Shneamar, it says in the pasuk, and it says further in the pasuk, vayem adam shimon, achudon olachem chida, I'm going to offer you guys a riddle. And at the end of the pasuk says, im hagid tagid li shivas yimei hamishta. Go tell me the answer to this riddle within 7 days. So he was partying for 7 days, and he gave them 7 days to tell them to answer the riddle. For 3 days they weren't able to figure out the answer to the riddle, and then they asked his wife and she gave him the answers, and his wife gave away all his secrets. Fine. So that's another source for the Indian of Sheva Brachos. Now this is one of the most famous lines in the entire Sefer Pirkei Avot Eliezer. Hachasen day melamelech. A chasen is like a king. If you ever heard such an expression, chasen day melamelech, this is the source of it. A chasen is like a king. You know, there's a minig in Klal Yisrael, I don't know where this comes from, but there's a minig in Klal Yisrael that when the chasen comes out after the chir yichud and comes to sit down by the suda, so everyone sings the song Vayhi Bishurin Melech Beisatzei Fersh Hayam Yachad Shiftei Yisrael. So when the chasen comes out, Vayhi Bishurin Melech. Oh, Yishurin is Klal Yisrael. Vayhi Bishurin Melech. There's a melech in Klal Yisrael. Oh, there's a melech. So a king is like a melech. A chasen is like a melech. What does it mean that a chasen is like a melech? This is mamish the source of this inyan. Just like a king doesn't go out into the marketplace alone, so too a chosen doesn't go out into the marketplace alone. The Radal brings two pshatim, is either it's because of the mazikin, so mazikin try to attack a chosen, so you're supposed to have a shamer with a chosen, or the pshat is because of the covet. It's not lefi kvoidei to walk by himself. It's just like a melech, it's not lefi kvoidei to walk by himself. Just like a king wears royal clothes, begodim of covet, so to a chosin wears royal clothes during his Sheva Brachos. That's why in Eretz Yisrael there's a minig that people wear a frock when they get married, and they wear a frock for Sheva Simei Mishta, big day covet, like a begodim of a melech. Just like a king, everyone praises the king, everyone says good things about the king. So to a chosin, everyone is praising him the whole during the Sheva Simei Misha. But all the Sheva Brachas, everyone's speaking about all the praises of the chosin by all the speeches or whatever. And the last one, the fifth one, Maha Melech Pan of Meir is Kerachama, just like a king, his face is shining like the face of the light of the sun. Kacha Chosin Pan of Meir is Kerachama. So too a Chosin, a groom, his face is shining like the light of the sun. Shneamar, it says in the pasuk, this pasuk is talking about the sun. It says in the pasuk in Tilum Yotes in Perek Shira says that Hashemayim Misabim Kavay Kel is that's what the sun says. The sun. So one of the things about the sun, it says in Tilum, the sun is a huke chosin yezem michuposay. The sun is like a chosin coming out of his chuppah. So just like the sun is shining, so when we're comparing the sun to a chosin coming out of his chuppah, so too a chosin when he's coming out of his chuppah, his face is shining. That's what it says in the Medrash.
The Rebbe thinks that the color is like the moon.
The color is like a moon. We've, yeah, we spoke about that on India before also.
The moon receives the light from the sun.
Yeah.
She doesn't have light of her own.
We said this in one of the earlier pocket. We said that the word Lavana, Mufarshim said the word Lavana is Reshit Tevis Besula Nisus Leah Maravi. Think about that. Okay. The Radal brings the Ramban and the Ran and other Rishayim in Mesachas Ksubis. They say a sixth thing. It says Maha Melech Mishta V'Simcha Lefan of Kol Yomim Afa Chosin Kol Shivus Yemei Mishta. Just like a Melech is always having a banquet every day and having parties and being a bit simcha his whole life, so to a chosin during his shivus yemei mishta after he gets married, he's having constant banquets in his honor and being a besimcha. The Bais HaGadol adds another one. The tour in Simen Samech Dalet, when we're talking about the mitzvahs of Sheva Brachas. So the tour in Samin Samech Dalet, he brings B'Shem Pirkei D'Avleazar another nekuda. The Mah Melech Eino Eisim Milocha, Af HaChosin Eino Eisim Milocha. Just like a king doesn't go out to work, so a chosin is not allowed to go out to work during the Shivus Yemei Mishta. It's interesting, if you look over there, in the Shulchan Aruch, in Eben Ezer, Samin Samech Dalet, so I'll read you the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, and you tell me if you guys notice anything funny. The Shulchan Aruch says like this. Hanayse Bisula, a man who marries a Bisula, Sarech Lismayach Ima Shivus Yamim. He has to be happy with her for 7 days. Shlo Yase Melacha. He won't go to work. Vlo Yisa Vitan Mashuk. And he won't go do business in the marketplace. El Eichel Vishayse Vesameach Ima. Rather, he's going to eat and drink and be happy with her. Benim Humu Bachar, Benim Humu Almon, whether it's his first marriage or it's not his first marriage. Fine. So the Ramah adds, Vachasin. And a chosin, it's also for him to do malacha, and it's also for him to go out to the marketplace. Anything funny over here? The Mechaber said that a chosin lo yase malacha. A chosin has to be he has to be happy with, rejoice with his wife for 7 days. He's not allowed to do malacha. And then the Ramah adds, the chosin also basias malacha. A chosin is not allowed to do malacha. The Mechaber already said a chassan is not allowed to do malacha. What's the Ramah coming to add?
It's
repetition. So the Bishmul says there's machlikis of him. It's like this. According to the Mechaber, the reason why a chassan is not allowed to do malacha during Sheva Brachas is because what he says. If you marry a hanayis b'sula, tzarech l'smoich ima shivamim, you have to be happy with her for 7 days. And as a result of that, because you have an obligation to be happy with her, you're not allowed to go out to work. So says the Bishmul, according to the Mechaber, if she's moichel, she says, I let you go out to work. I don't care. I give up on my right to make you stay home and be happy with me. Then he's allowed to do it. Comes along the Ramah, and the Ramah says, no! Asr basiyas malach. Chosin asr basiyas malach. What's the source of it? The Ramah in the documentation over here in the parentheses, source, Pirkei D'Avleazar, Perek Tazayin. So what's the source? The reason is because chosin is doy melamelach. And just like a malach doesn't work, a chosin is not allowed to work. So even if the woman is moichel, he's still not allowed to go out to work. That's what Bishmul says. So he says, machlekes, so according to Bishmul, it's machlekes, Ashkenazim is Sfaradim. If you get married, first you marry a girl, it's her first time getting married, and she says you're allowed to go out to work, are you allowed to go out to work? According to Mechaber, you're allowed. According to the Ramah, you're still not allowed to. That's what Bishmul says.
That's a big chiddush.
It's a big chiddush.
Bringing halakha from a...
The Ran in Ksubis already brings this Pirkei D'Avleazar, and the Ramah is just going with the Ran. But, yeah.
Still, but
also
the Ran. Yeah. Well, can't be Moichel on his covered. No, but we're talking about her being Moichel on her right to keep him home.
Yeah, but that's the cover of a Mela.
Oh, I hear. You're saying if it's a cover, right. And if Moichel ain't covered in Moichel, she can't be Moichel on his covered. Michael al Kwaita means he can't be Michael on his own covered usually.
Right.
But so the Bishmul says that the Khari will be a machlik as Ashkenazim and Sephardi. But the Maisa, the Birki Yosef, the Mechida, who is a Sephardi, he argues on the Bishmul. He says, no, according to everyone, he's not allowed to go out to work. So, that's it. We'll just finish off over here with Rabbi Eliyahu Meizmir again. Last stickle for Rabbi Eliyahu Meizmir today. Medrash Talpiyos, this is on the words Chosin Mikala. He brings down the Pirkei D'Avleazar about Chosin Daim al-Malach. And he says, the Medrash says it about five things, Chassan Dan HaMelech. He says, I want to tell you 18 ways that a Chassan is Dan HaMelech. And I'll read it to you. Omer HaMaasev. Uma HaMelech Nimloch Nimcholom Lai Kolav Ben Yosef Av Chassan Kein Amru Chacham Zerchen L'Bracha. Just like a king, when he becomes king, all his affairs are forgiven. So to a Chassan, when he gets married, all his affairs are forgiven. Like the Rashi brings in Parsha, by Machlas Pasi Shmuel, when Esav married Machlas Pasi Shmuel, so Machlas is Lashon of Mechila, his affairs got forgiven. Just like a king makes, I'll just read it in English. Just like a king makes decrees and everyone else, and other people have to listen to it, so too, a Chassan, Shiva Simea Mishta, the king, you know, the Chassan says, yo, pass this, so everyone goes and passes it, brings him whatever he needs. Just like a king is amongst a lot of people, so too a chassan during Sheva Brachas is amongst a lot of people. Just like a melech is you know he shows he can sort of show off on himself and show how rich he is or whatever, so too a chassan is allowed to show off on himself to his kala to try to show how chashav he is. So ma melech boilu perish, just like a king has beer with his wife and then he separates and he goes to his own bed. So to a chassan, boil a parish, because we hold that we're chashish for dam besulim, that kilo it's usher, so chassan is boil a parish. A melech has multiple wives, so he has like his own room, and then he goes and visits each wife in her own room. Ma melech menagim afon of Arab, just like a king, people, you know, they blow trumpets and they sing songs to him day and night, so to a chassan, just like a king, everyone serves him, so to a chassan. Just like a king, everyone's giving him brachas, so to a chassan. Just like a king, he sits at the head of the table, so to a chassan. By Shavu brachas, he sits at the head of the table. Just like a king, people give him presents, so to a chassan. Just like a king, he's supposed to give a lot of tzedakah to poor people, so to a chassan. Just like a king writes two sifrei Torah, so to a chassan is supposed to read from, is supposed to get two aliyahs. The minhag is the chassan gets an aliyah on the Shabbos before he gets married, and he gets aliyah on the Shabbos after he gets married. So chassan, so just like a king has two sefer Torahs, so too a chassan has two sefer Torahs. Just like a king, people dance in front of him and they bring candles because the candles is a covered. So to a chassan, you bring candles and you light special candles for him, and people dance in front of him. Just like a chassan, just like a melech changes his clothes constantly, he's wearing new, brand new clothing. He's only wearing new clothing. So to a chassan, just like a king, when he makes a party, so the men are supposed to be one place, the women are supposed to be another place. Like Achashverosh, we spoke about in Perek Memtes, that Achashverosh, when he made a party, so there was one party for the men, and Vashti made a separate party for the women. So too, by a chassan, when they make Shavuot brachos, especially by a chassanah, they're supposed to have the men separately from the women. The Mefarshim even speak out that if the men and women are not separate, you're not supposed to say, by benching, you're not supposed to say, Shasimcha b'ma'aynoi. Because when the sultan is mekatrig, then you can't say Simcha b'ma'aynoi, because there's no Simcha. Just like a melech, everyone comes to visit him, and everyone shel b'shleimai, they greet him. So to a chassan, everyone comes to visit him and they greet him. Just like a melech, his wife dresses up with all the different types of jewelry and all the different types of ornaments. So to a chassan, just like a king sleeps till 3 hours into the day, a chassan also gets to wake up late. Shavuot brachos. I'm not saying it's Rebbeleil Meizmir. So you see that there's 18 things that a chassan is doing l'malach, simin l'davar, ben shvayna ser l'chopo. And then he goes on for pages and pages, I'm not going to tell you all the things that he says, but he goes on for pages and pages about why is a chassan daima to a king. These are examples, but like, what's the underlying idea? So one idea he says is that because a king, what makes a king into a king? You wear a crown. And we said that it's a pasuk in the Mishnah, I think it says, Ishas chayil ateres baila. And Ishas chayil is a crown to her husband. So when do you get your crown? You only get a crown when you get married. The Gemara in Gittin, it's a pasuk where, I forgot what it's a pasuk in. The Gemara in Gittin says that there used to be a minhag that a chassan would wear a very fancy crown. And then when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so they were mevatel this minhag. They said, no, you're not. The pasuk says, Hasar. Haser hamitznefes harem ha'atara. Haser hamitznefes. The mitznefes is what the kohen used to wear when they would do the avoda. Actually, it's what the kohen gadol used to wear when they would do the avoda. So haser hamitznefes, when the mitznefes is removed, harem ha'atara. Lift off your crown. Meaning, chassan shouldn't wear a crown anymore when he gets married. So we don't have that minig, but there's an Indian that a chassan is like a malach. When he gets married, he gets his wife is like a crown to his head. So
that's
only.
Well, didn't you say it in Shifakim,
it's a Mishnah in Tainus, I think. Another Nukuda he says is that a person only could properly learn Torah when he gets married. Until that, not as the Gemara says in Yevamos. In the sixth parak, it says, "Kol shari b'le isha, shari b'le Torah." He's living a man who lives without an isha is living without Torah. And we said that Torah is like above the kings. We mentioned a pasuk in Mishlei also. We mentioned this pasuk in which parak was it? I think it was in parak Ches. It said, in parak Ches. It says the pasuk the Torah said about itself, "Be malachim yimluchu." Through me, through the Torah, Malachim become kings. Because we said that Hashem in Paragimel, Hashem said that Hashem asked the Torah whether he should create the world, and the Torah said yeah. And we said that a Melech is someone that the nation makes him into a Melech by accepting his Malchus. So the Torah made Hashem into a Melech, be Malachim Yamuchus. So the Torah makes things into a Melech, and the Torah makes a person into a Melech. But Chazal tell us, man melach, also Gemara in Gittin, man melachi rabbanon, who are kings? Kings refer to rabbanon. To rabbanon, so you can only be masik that darga and Torah that you man melachi rabbanon when a person is married. So getting married makes a person into a king. I remember when I was getting married, so I put out a quintress for my chasana. So I got a haskama from Rav Yitzchak Sorotskin from Lakewood. So he wrote in his haskama, he wrote that. It says in the puzzle, I think he brought from the Bali. There's a sifra called Rebbezina Bali Atesis Alatera. So it says in the puzzle, it's not good for a person to be by himself. I'm going to make for him an Ezer, a helper. That's what Hashem said when he was creating, before he created Chava. So it says, Loi Toiv Hayes Adam Levadai. So it says in the Rebbezina Bali Atesis, Loi Toiv Ein Toiv Alatera. Shinamar, Kilekach Toiv Nasati Lechem Tayasi Atazevu. So the way he understood it is that a person can only be masik a darga of taiv, meaning a darga in Torah, when he gets married. Loi taiv hayasal adam levadai. You're loi taiv. You're not with the Torah. You're not on that darga of Torah when a person is by himself. That's what Yitzchak Sorotskin wrote. It's the same idea over here. Right. That's what we said. A king writes two sefer Torahs, one to hold, and one because everyone in Klal Yisrael is mechuyav to write a sefer Torah. That's what I meant. Just one last nekuda. There's a famous idea. It's a minhag that's sort of catching on in the last like 30 years. That when the chassan and kala come, when the chassan at least comes down the aisle to the chuppah, so everyone stands up for him. So why does everyone stand up for him? So Rav Avadi Yosef. In Yabia Omer, Chalek Vav, Evan Ezra Simon Ches has a whole tshuva. Someone asked him, is there an Indian to stand up for Chassam when he comes down to the Chuppah or not? So Rav Yosef Kedarkai has tons and tons of sources about it. But he brings from one of the Svarim called Knesset Gedola, of Chaim Benisti, who writes that the Indian is what we're talking about. Chassam Dei Mel Melech. And when a Melech comes by, you're supposed to stand for a Melech. It's a Mavur in Kiddushin that when a Melech comes, you have to stand up for a Melech, for a Nasi, for a Melech, Kol Shekin for a Melech. So when a Melech comes, you stand up for a Melech. So Chassam Dei Mel Melech. So you have to stand up for a Chassam. The other Mepharshim, the Knesset Gedola himself elsewhere, right? It's a different reason why you stand up for a king, for a Chassam when he comes by. Because there's a mission Bikurim that when they used to come to bring Bikurim in Yerushalayim, so as each city came, all the people that as they walked by, so all the people that were working would come and stand up and give them kavod, right? So the Bartanur in the Mesechus Bikurim Perek Gimel Mishnah Gimel says that there's the Indian that when a person is going on his way to do a mitzvah, he's supposed to stand up and give kavod to him. So the Knesset Gedola also writes that that's why you stand up for Chassan when he comes down, because he's on his way to do a mitzvah. Purvu, mitzvah kiddushin, whatever exactly the mitzvah is. The nafkamina between these two answers is: do you have to stand up when the kala comes down? Because if it's chosin down l'malach, so we find chosin, we don't ever find a kala down l'malka. There's no inin. The parsha doesn't ever find the gemara that there's an inin of covered malka. So maybe you don't have to stand up for kala. But if the reason is because they're going to do a mitzvah, so kala also someone's going to do a mitzvah, whatever exactly the mitzvah is. So interesting. Even the Knesset Gedolah says that the minig, I forgot, he said like in Salonika they were the, yeah, he says the minig in the Constantinople was to yeah stand up, and the minig, I think it was in Salonika, not to stand up, different places, but he said really everyone should stand up. Different people didn't. Apparently Rav Moshe Feinstein didn't stand up, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky did, different, there's different things about it. But it's not an interesting concept over here that has to do with our picative laser. And I think we've finally finished the parak. And thank you for coming and have the Shabbos.